Joining us right here in our Quality Jewelers studios at Seasons Main Street in Bangor, author of a wonderful new book entitled Football's Foremost Fives, a compendium of rare NFL achievements, author John Dudley joining us. John, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Rich. Nice to be here.
John, you're a Maine native, and you grew up in an athletic family, and it was one of the things that inspired you to write this book.
Right, yeah. The name may be familiar to some of your listeners. My dad was a longtime high school football coach in Maine, first at Morse, where he won 5 state championships. I always have to work that in, and then at Coney. And so I grew up in Augusta and have family in the Bangor area now, so it's always nice to come back.
Absolutely. And now, what's your connection to our friend Toby Nelson?
Toby actually is a friend of my sister's, I guess.
Uh-huh. Okay.
They have sons about the same age, and so
should we hold that against him, Kerry? What do you think?
I think he's got enough degrees of separation that
Thank you.
It's okay.
Thanks for the pass on that.
Well, the book is just so much fun to read, and tell me why this type of a book. What interested you in some of these interesting collections of great numbers and achievements?
Well, I was writing for the website coldhardfootballfacts.com, and always doing a lot of research, putting current developments into historical perspective. Like, this is, you know, only the third person to have accomplished certain things. So having that as a backdrop, I then decided, okay, how could I package some of this information in a book form where it gets across the important stats but also tells the stories behind them? And so it began a big project that ended up being a lot longer than I ever expected, but 7 years later, here we are with a finished product.
Well, I want to just go through some of the chapters and talk about them without giving away too many of the endings here either, because we want people to buy the book, for crying out loud. But and we'll start right with the first one, chapter one, called Instant Offense, Players Who've Recorded the Most Yards from Scrimmage in an NFL Game. And what's fascinating to me as I read the book, it was a great way to start it because it set the tone for what we see all the way through. Oh, sure, names you expect, but then some surprises and guys you never would have thought would be on a list like that.
Right. When I wrote the chapters, they're all independent, so you can flip around and start anywhere. But when I had to put them in order for the book, this one popped out because it involves both current players, past players, and this has actually been the chapter that has been threatened a couple times this year because the players who've had the most yards from scrimmage, it's the fifth place person is, I believe, Priest Holmes with 307. So anytime a player gets close to the 300 mark, Julio Jones got to exactly 300 this year, and Le'Veon Bell got to 298 a couple weeks ago, then I start to worry a little bit that it's going to affect the book, but thankfully it hasn't been threatened yet.
And there are names that you'd expect, like Calvin Johnson and Adrian Peterson, but I will give away the number one in this chapter because it was such a fun surprise because I remember him well, Flipper Anderson.
Right, the former Rams receiver. Not a name that is probably first on everyone's lips when you name players who've had a productive game, but it was actually an overtime game where had his kicker, Mike Lansford, made a field goal, then he never would have had the opportunity to get the additional yardage to he got to 338 for to be number one on that list.
I love this chapter. Rude welcome to the show. And this is a chapter about quarterbacks who kind of struggled. These are quarterbacks in the Super Bowl era who were drafted number one overall that didn't exactly set the world on fire.
Right. Another category that maybe you don't necessarily think of right away. It's interesting to see that so many of the big names, number one on that list is John Elway, who completed all of one pass for 14 yards in his starting debut. So the bar was set very low by him. And so when someone like Jared Goff finally got his first start with the Rams this year, all he had to do was get over 100 yards, and he would avoid being a new member of that category.
We were talking during the break, and you brought up Chapter 17, Auspicious Playoff Debuts. These are quarterbacks who won their first playoff start under the most fortunate circumstances, and we could certainly see this come into play this season the way things are going.
Very true. Yeah, quarterbacks typically struggle in their first playoff start, and those who have won often did so under very fortunate circumstances. Everyone in the local audience certainly remembers Tom Brady benefiting from the tuck rule. I had the good fortune of being at that game, and it's a great memory of mine. Terry Bradshaw's first playoff win was the Immaculate Reception. Steve McNair's first was the Music City Miracle. So now this year, if you're a fan of the Cowboys, obviously this will be Dak Prescott's first playoff game, and the Raiders, it will be Derek Carr's first. So maybe you should temper your expectations a little bit.
This one, it was fun, and I felt a little sad. Casting a Large Shadow, Chapter 24, all about Hall of Famers who overshadowed a younger brother. It's the Hank Aaron, Tommy Aaron syndrome here.
Exactly, and a lot of names that you know the Hall of Famer, and you're like, I didn't realize that he had a brother who also played. Number one on that list, we just mentioned him, Terry Bradshaw. He had a brother, Craig Bradshaw, who was a seventh-round pick of the Oilers. They were hoping he might emulate his brother, and unfortunately, he never threw a pass, and I think was only active for two games.
We're talking with John Dudley, the author of Football's Foremost Fives. And again, John here in our studios, and he'll be hanging around after we do the interview. And if you want to buy a book and get John to sign it, he'll be more than happy to do that right here at Seasons on Main Street in Bangor. This was a fascinating chapter for me, the Platinum Performances, players who stepped out of their career norms to deliver big time in the Super Bowl.
Yes, this was a fun chapter for me to do the research on as well because, you know, That is the one big stage, the biggest stage in sports, I would say, is the Super Bowl. And some players became household names simply because of that game. People always remember Timmy Smith, the running back for the Redskins, who had never even had a 100-yard game or scored a touchdown. And he ran for over 200 and scored twice. My favorite might be number two on the list. Percy Howard was a wide receiver for the Cowboys who was a free agent, didn't even play college football. He was a basketball player at Austin Peay, made the team, didn't catch a pass the entire regular season and the playoffs leading up to the Super Bowl. His one reception was a touchdown pass from Roger Staubach. Unfortunately, they ended up losing that game, but good for him, I guess.
But my favorite chapter, I think, in the book is Chapter 15, Comically Incompetent. We think of these guys as being the best in their chosen field, but not everybody who's had their time in the National Football League has been a superstar.
And one of the reasons that I titled it Football's Foremost Fives and not Finest or something like that, alliterative, it was that sometimes it's a negative category, and that's a perfect example of basically the people who are the worst at their position. Number one on the list is Randy Hedberg, who was a quarterback for the Tampa Bay Bucks when they were an expansion team, and his career passer rating is 0.00. I actually had an opportunity to speak to him back when I was writing for Cold Hard Football Facts. It was when Chris Sims was the Bucks quarterback and was really struggling, so I thought it would be interesting to kind of get his perspective on it. And he seemed surprised but good-natured about the fact that his passer rating was zero.
Now, somebody I teach school during the day. Somebody was asking me at school about kickers and punters. And I know you've got a chapter. I'm trying to find it here. What's the chapter on?
10 is the one on punters.
10, yes. Establishing the field position. Punters whose career punts have traveled the greatest total distance.
Yeah, I tried to look at the NFL from every possible perspective, the various positions, the various achievements, whether they happen on a play, in a game, over the course of a season, or for an entire career. So I had to throw a little love to the punters. And Shane Leckler is the active punter who is climbing the list, trying to chase down people like Sean Landetta, who's number two, and Jeff Fiegels, who's number one on the list.
Now, you talked about some of the records, the passing records or total yardage records that are in jeopardy. Any other, because that's got to be your nightmare when you go to press with this and all of a sudden people start threatening to break into the top five. Any others that have come close this season?
Well, there are always things that I'm rooting for and against. During the time that the book was coming together, you know, there would be four members of a category, and it's like, come on, please, somebody else get more than five sacks in a game, which Alden Smith kindly did a few years back. So this year, the big thing that I'm rooting against, because it's going to come into play, is there are only five coaches who have won a playoff game in five straight postseasons. Bill Belichick being the only one to have done so twice. His second streak is now active. So if the Patriots win a playoff game this year, he will be the first coach to win a playoff game in six straight seasons. But the person who could upset the apple cart is old friend Pete Carroll, because the Seahawks have won four straight. Unfortunately, last year, it looked like they were going to lose. The Vikings just needed to make, I believe it was a 27-yard field goal to win that playoff game. They missed it, unfortunately, and now the streak is at 4 games for the Seahawks.
I love the chapter, too, because we're pretty spoiled here in New England watching what Tom Brady's been doing for the last decade and a half. But then to read about some of those great quarterbacks who, on the biggest stage, didn't exactly come through. And it's chapter 22, Striking Sour Notes, and these are the quarterbacks that didn't get it done in the Super Bowl.
Right, yeah, or just in the postseason in general, where people obviously think of Dan Marino. He is mentioned frequently as being a great quarterback, but never won a Super Bowl, got to one in his second year, but ultimately had a losing postseason record. And Y.A. Tittle is number one on that list, never having won a playoff game.
Going 0-5, right?
Yeah, exactly. 0-4 in the NFL and 0-5 dating back to the AAFC. So he's another sort of great regular season quarterback that doesn't have the postseason resume of some of his peers.
So, John, as you did the research for the book, do you have maybe one or two that were your favorite discoveries?
Let's see. One thing that really surprised me, there's a chapter on defenders scoring offensively, and I knew Mike Vrabel, former Patriot, would be number one, but the disparity between that spot and the four other members of the list was considerable. Vrabel scored 12 touchdowns, 2 in the postseason in Super Bowls. And then the other defenders, people like Refrigerator Perry, Deion Sanders, had 4. So it was 4 guys who had 4, and then Vrabel who tripled their production.
Well, it's a wonderful read. I highly recommend it to anybody who's a football fan. And I mean, it would make a great Christmas present for somebody. Because I always think at Christmas time, there's nothing better than opening up a present, a book like this that you can just jump right into while the family's there. And you can kind of curl up in the corner and check this out. And it's going to be so much fun for people to read.
Yeah, and it's a nice aspect of it is that you don't have to read it like a conventional book, front cover to back cover. There's an index at the back, so if you just want to read about Tom Brady or favorite players, you can flip to the chapters that they're mentioned in. You can randomly pick it up and start chapter 23 if you like.
And John, you're going to be hanging out here at Seasons for a little bit?
Yeah, I'm happy to personalize anybody's copy of the book if they're interested.
So come on down, Seasons, Main Street in Bangor, and see John Dudley. The book is Football's Foremost Fives, a compendium of rare NFL achievements. John, thanks so much for coming in. Love the book. Thanks for visiting with us.
Thanks, Rich. It's a pleasure to be here.